Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our first Falcons Monday of the year, and we want to be able to celebrate, but then a whole lot to celebrate, but we're still going to break it down. Welcome to the morning show as you drive in on this very beautiful Monday in this great city of Atlanta. John Fricke, and today and this week, Randy McMichael, the good old dog, the damn good dog, because Hugh is doing something.
Yeah, he does. Don't come to work, okay? Just go do something.
He's the only man in the world you have to say, you have to take vacation. No, you're on vacation. No, I want to. No, you have to take vacation.
Yeah, just go. Go. Get on,
Hugh. So Hugh's taking the week off, even if he doesn't want to. He's probably up this morning working out, listening, and Hugh, if you are, just enjoy your week.
And meal prepping. Meal prepping or something. Driving around in the Ram.
Driving around in the Ram, meal prepping. The Falcons, of course, get beat by the New York Jets 17-0, and that has everybody just up in their feelings about the fact that they got shut out by a bad football team, and I just don't see a whole lot of reason to be overly concerned. I think you put it into great terms.
They pissed off, because you should, because we waited a long time. You know how we are in the South about football. And Falcon fans waited a long time to see their team. I mean, you look at how last season ended, it left the Nash's taste in your mouth. And you're waiting all off, see, you're reading all these good things going on. And the first time you get to see your team live, they stink. Yeah, it was a stinky, sloppy performance. I mean, but there's no reason to panic. You know, if cause concern is if the guys who are doing the heavy lifting, if those guys get out there and they look like the second teamers did on Friday, then it's like, dude, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not gonna panic, but I'm saying
right. No, I'm with you. I'm like, with
what
you.
What the hell's going on, man?
Yeah, the Chiefs game's coming up Friday. Let's see a little bit more from the Chiefs game. You know, again, you'll forget about this game once they kick off in Philadelphia, and we're talking about that. But at the same time, I understand why some fans. But the whole Fire Sark thing has got to stop. Okay, you got to give them a chance. Look, they bring in Greg Knapp for a reason. Even Sark knows why they brought in Greg Knapp. Okay. Your heir apparent is sitting there over your shoulder. All right, fine, he gets it. Let's see if those two can't put it together. Now, as to the offense of the quarterbacks, Matt Ryan played, what, 3 snaps or something like that. Matt Schaub came in and played.
Nine for nine.
Yeah.
9 for 9.
And then Kurt Becker comes in and goes 9 for 17 for 100.25. And even Dan Quinn said, you know, the kid out of Virginia, he played actually pretty well.
He got a 2-minute in tonight. He got a chance to move the ball. He got to scramble around some. So for his first experience, I was glad we got to get him a lot of play time.
All right. So, again, Kurt Benkert is not making this team. He's going to be on the practice squad. He's going to be your third quarterback, and he's going to take it and like it.
Yeah. And I'm sure he knows that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think, was he good in Virginia? But I mean,
yeah, he was at times. He was
okay.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Right. But no, Matt Schaub's a backup, all right?
Well, another Virginia guy.
Yeah, that is true. But no. And what I saw, John, you know, we know what this offense is based off of. It's based off of the stretch run play. The same thing that Shanahan did, his father did. And to me, what I saw a lot on Friday was they were trying to get back to that, because a lot of the offense comes off the play action pass from that run. So you saw them trying to do a lot of that. And as the weeks progress, you know, they'll start putting in more of a game plan. Well, I mean, even for this Kansas City, they're going to have a handful of plays, go out there and play, stay pretty vanilla, and, you know, try and do the most important thing in the preseason, health. Get out of there healthy. All you guys healthy. I don't expect Julio to play. I don't think Julio or Devontae will play in this game either. And they might not play this preseason, but you got to find a way to get those guys healthy and do not let number 2 get hit.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Again, Darius Geis, out for the season. The LSU rookie tears his ACL. The Redskins lost him for the year. Carolina's lost 3 guys for at least half the year, one of them for the full year, 2 of which happened to be on their offensive line, including their second-team All-Pro Darrell Williams, after losing their best offensive lineman in free agency. That offensive line of Carolina, at the moment, is decimated.
Yeah.
So this is what we're talking about. I mean, but Carolina scored points, even with it. Yeah, they're playing against guys that aren't going to make – again, forget – remember who's playing. These guys are not going to be – your leading rusher is Malik Williams. I'm sure that Malik is a fine young player.
He runs hard.
He runs hard. And he may make the practice squad.
And I like him because you look at what he is. He's a big back. And they're going to probably lose Tevin next year. And if you can get a young back and you can develop him, mm-hmm. I mean, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, Ito would replace Tevin. I was like, no, he wouldn't. They're two different kinds of runners. You got to get a bigger guy in here. And he fits the bill now. Can he develop and grow? That remains to be seen.
Did you see anything from the fullbacks from Ortiz or McNitt?
Oh, man, did you see Ortiz in the first
one block?
Oh, yeah. They're running a zone play, and Hooper oversteps, and this guy beats him inside. And Ortiz does what a fullback does. You clean everything up, which I liked it. I like the physicality. That's what you got to do.
So, again, we haven't decided on anything when it comes to some of these position battles. Deidrin Sinop played very well.
Very good. He played good. He played on the other side of the line, is what you want from your guys. I mean, he was moving guys the other way. He didn't get moved off the ball too much.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw of Sinop. And it'll be interesting this week because you're going to get more of Sinop. Sinop was on the field mostly with McLean.
Yeah.
And they kind of went back and forth, and McLean kind of taking Jarrett's role.
Yeah, as the DT, as the three technique, yeah.
You know, so, and Sinop was over the ball. And now we'll get to see Sinop and Jarrett against the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes quite a bit more, I would think, on Friday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're talking about the Falcons and recapping Friday night and looking forward to the game on Friday against the Chiefs at Mercedes-Benz. John with Randy Mack this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as he fills in for Hugh's Vacation World. Dan Quinn, more from Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn talking about playing up in New York in the opener.
For these young guys, their first padded practice was in a stadium with 50,000 people and rain days, military days. We try to stress them as much as we can, so no excuses from our end, man. Anybody, any place, any time is a motto, and we did not live up to that. So let's give credit to the other side, but we got work to do, and let's make sure this weekend coming up we play in our style that we like to attack and get after people.
All right, so that was Friday, right? So if you read into the tea leaves, oh, you guys are going to get it this weekend.
Oh, it's on today. I mean, you know. No, I'm sorry. No, it was on yesterday. Yeah, it was on yesterday. No, it's going to be on again today. It was on yesterday. It's going to be on again today.
That's as bad as Dan Quinn gets in public. But, boy, you hear that?
Yeah.
I mean, but can we play that soundbite again, Daryl? Because I want people to listen. Just listen to the kind of the subtext of everything that Dan Quinn is saying about how he does it so nicely, about how I'm going to work your rear ends to no end. Play this again.
For these young guys, their first padded practice was in a stadium with 50,000 people. And, rain days, military days. Right. We try to stress them as much as we can. Okay. So no excuses from our end, man. Uh-huh. Anybody, any place, any time is a motto, and we did not live up to that. Uh-huh. So let's give credit to the other side. Uh-huh. But we got work to do, and let's make sure this weekend coming up we play in our style that we like to attack and get after people.
Let's make sure this weekend that we play in our style we like to attack.
It's on today.
That's code for you're going to get work.
It's on. It was on yesterday. It's going to be on again today. And I tell you, the worst practice usually in training camp is that first practice after the preseason game. The first time you get back on the field, I bet it was a lot of – because usually you'll repeat the plays that you messed up on in the game, and then you put some new stuff in. But, yeah, Dan, they went at it, especially defensively. I know Marquand was not happy. At all. And you saw that, for the second quarter, we called the whole defense up and everything.
Yeah, what the heck is going on out there? You know, wake the heck up.
I tell you who did look good for defense outside of Casey. Did you see Deion Jones make all three tackles?
Yeah.
Did you see him flying to the football?
Of course.
I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, again, you're not playing your starters. I mean, Deion had all
then,
three.
Yeah, Tack had a run. Yep. I mean, him and Vic didn't even start that game. They came in the first third down nickel play. Both of them came in. And I don't know what the Jets left tackle was doing. But you always block the big guy. You know that, right?
Right.
And you're going to let Tack just have a free run at Teddy, and I almost got there.
Yep. One more from Coach Quinn talking about those little, damn, yellow flags.
Penalties really set us back tonight. I thought we missed the mark in that area because sometimes you want to get into some good down and distance situations to get a real chance to look at the guys. You know, to finish the game in double-digit penalties, I thought that was a real factor. We missed the mark big on that one.
All right, so now you're starting to understand – Dan Quinn code, okay? You know, let's get back to work and you know, that's Dan Quinn code for we're going to work your butt. We missed the mark is Dan Quinn's code for, oh, are you going to hear it from me? You know?
I was on.
Yeah.
It's on.
You missed the mark. Yeah. That's what I'll say to the media. You missed the mark. And in the meeting room, miss the mark becomes something entirely different because people say, why isn't Dan Quinn more vocal on the sideline? You know,
That's not his style.
Yeah, not in public. I mean, even in the locker room. But I mean, Dan.
What's the most upset you see him on the sideline? Probably that Seattle game when Julio got tackled with the balls in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's probably the most demonstrative you've ever seen him on the sideline. Not saying, but everybody. I've been around Dan. He's fiery now, and he is a competitor, and he just wants his team to play the way he sees it. I mean, we know what kind of ball he wants here in Atlanta, and they just didn't live up to it. They were sloppy, a lot of missed tackles. Blown coverage, blown basic coverage. I think that's the part that surprised me and frustrated me the most was the blown coverages on basic every down. This is day one install we're talking about, and they're blowing coverages, and guys are just running wide open.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's guys that are not going to make the team again.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that is true, but still, that's why people are upset because it's the Falcon product. That's what I'm saying, and those leaders, those Deion Jones, those Grady Jarrett, I'm sure they had a couple words to say to the young fellas too.
Yeah, they're probably standing on the sidelines going, oh, my God, come on, what are you talking about here? I mean, oddly, the Falcons ended up gaining more yards than the Jets. I mean, they did by one. I mean, the Jets didn't exactly light it up. I tend to agree with you. One final thing about the Jets, the Teddy Bridgewater showed out. And what a great, wonderful story he is. I mean, I'm so hopeful, and I'm sure he will. He's not going to be on the Jets team. They're trying to trade him. They're not going to get much for him, maybe a conditional pick.
But I'm saying, where are you going to trade him to? I mean,
there are a lot of teams out there that could use a backup. Yeah,
me and Bunker were talking Friday, I think, after the game, and they were trying to figure out
Carolina could use a backup.
Where is the best place for Teddy to go to?
Carolina.
Miami. Go home.
Go home.
But, because, I mean, Sam Darnold needs to be starting quarterback.
Josh
McCown needs to be backup. Because, I mean, what you saw from Darnold was they did play to his strength. They moved the pocket for him, gave some nice, easy throws. And, I mean, the young man, I mean, he impressed me. And I was reading this morning that, you know, he's getting more first-team. He's getting some first-team reps this week. So, we'll see.
Right, and so, Darnold's going to be your starter from day one. The Jets are in that kind of a situation. Boy, and this will give you an idea of how important the first week of the preseason is and what it really means to anything. As we talk about the Falcons, just to give you one little aside here, in Cleveland, they're chanting, Baker, Baker, touchdown maker. Come on.
Did you see those clowns at the practice? Baker, Mayfield. Like, dude.
Really?
Man, go to work. Do something. All right, I'm making up no damn chance.
You know,
but Baker looked all right, though. He did his thing.
Baker, touchdown maker.
Go do something, man.
They need someone, John. LeBron's gone.
I know.
That's a crap. Yeah, they need someone.
Over for the Indians, all right? Baseball season.
They're good. They're playing well.
Yeah,
they're playing well.
100 games last year. Yeah. You know, I mean, come on.
But yeah, they need something to cheer for, like you said. You know, did you read this story about the Callaway kid, how he was being punished by playing the whole game?
Right. Yeah, and you mean the little slant that Baker threw? Baker threw a 54-yard touchdown pass. No. Baker threw the ball 8 yards. Callaway caught it and ran 46, all right?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a heck of a player.
But they paid it like he stepped back in the pocket and left it a perfectly, you know, come on, stop. He threw an 8-yard slant. The Callaway, there was no safety on, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, here's your chance right now because it is time for you and the National Signing Bonus to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Adopt. Adopt.
Adopt.
A-D-O-P-T. Adopt to 72881. Adopt to 72881. Message J.D. Race Man Pine. Do not text and drive. Somebody wants to, you know, you're going to want to have people say, can you adopt me after you win $1,000? And you're going to go, it's $1,000. I don't think so.
Who the hell get it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to.
I just want $1,000. Will you adopt me?
Well, you know, certain places where you sponsor people might want to be adopted for the night. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, since today is National Filet Mignon Day, you might be able to buy 20 filet mignons with $1,000. That's all I can say. $1,000 to you if you text ADOPT to 72881. Oh, speaking of that, our Vision Computer poll question of the day is about steak. It is National Filet Mignon Day. We're asking what is the best cut of steak? What's your favorite? Filet, prime rib, ribeye, or sirloin? And ribeye is leading the way.
Is there?
Yeah, because that tomahawk ribeye.
Nice fatty.
That's that tomahawk ribeye at Marcel. Oh, man.
Good fatty. Fatty. So good.
Yeah, I got to get you to go to Marcel with that tomahawk over
there. I'm about to go over there, man. I mean, where's it at now?
It's right over there, Howell Mill and 14th Street up at the end there. you know, up at you know where that this side of the waterworks where they had that big kind of complex.
Right,
it's right there.
Yeah, okay, I might need to try that.
Yeah. So anyway, ribeye leading filet is second. Prime rib third, and sirloin is fourth. Sirloin is probably going to finish last here because people do love prime rib. They have that prime rib sundae and stuff. I'm not a prime rib guy. I don't care for prime rib.
It's okay to me. It's not my go-to.
Yeah, it's not mine either.
Yeah, but I'll try it.
But a really good cut of sirloin is to be underrated as a steak. If you've had a really good sirloin cooked right,
if I'm going to spend money, I'm gonna get the ribeye, the bone in.
Well, sure, yeah, of course I am. Money, I mean, yeah. Of course you are. Yeah. I mean, I am too. I mean, that's what I'm going to do too. But I mean, but a really good sirloin, I've had some really good sirloins in my life.
Okay,
yeah, I'm just saying. That's our Vision Computer poll. We're also taking your comments and your questions, talking about on our Twitter at 929 the game about Tiger and about the Falcons. So if you want to react with us this morning, we always talk on our Twitter during the show, and we want you to be able to do that. At 929 the game, and we'll talk to you as long as you don't say, you know, silly things, which sometimes some people do. All right, maybe we will talk to you if you do that. Again, Chiefs and Falcons Friday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A pregame begins at 5 o'clock Friday. Kick is at 7 o'clock, and we want to stress that all week because I know how Friday nights are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people can't. You're not going to be able to get – if you live OTP or like me, WOTP, you're not going to get home and back. That ain't happening.
So when you leave here, John, are you gonna go all the way up there to Tennessee and then come back, or are you gonna stay in the city?
No, I'll come back because I leave early. Yeah, I'm not okay. Talking about people that get off at 5.
Oh, okay, I was curious, like, how are you gonna get back down here?
And then I know a back route that I'm not gonna tell anybody about.
So John, you the only one to know this route?
Huh?
You the only one to know the route?
I'm not going down 75 south.
No, I'm saying you the only one to know the route.
No, but it's just my back route and. I'm not telling anybody my back route because I don't want them taking my back route.
The John Freaky route?
Yeah, I got my back route, okay?
Freaky's road.
Freaky road,
you know? It's I just put it this way. You go west, young man, okay? It's a back route to I-20, and I come in that way rather than deal with 75. It is the morning show with John and Randy Mack this week, who's filling in for Hugh. When we get back, wheelhouse time for Randy and I. Very latest in college football.
Yes,
12 days ahead of the first game of the year. What's making headlines with Kirby Smart this morning? We'll tell you next. As we count down to college football, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, that time is a coming. Welcome back to the morning show. John and Randy Mack today because Hugh's on vacation, but that time is a knocking on the door. We are actually only 12 days from the first college football games of the year. It's August 25th, and granted, the schedule isn't all that great, but it's still college football.
And you and I'll be watching.
Oh, you're right. Wyoming and North Dakota State or whoever the hell's playing. I don't even know who it is. But, you know, who's going to be Josh Allen's apparent, you know, got to take over for him in Laramie. It's the only person I would care would be me, but, you know, what are you going to do? The college football segment is brought to you by Dixie Vodka. It is football season. That means tailgating, and a true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. You can visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South, and part of a great tailgate Bloody Mary.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, you like me. You like, but we've always said this. You like your spicy, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, you like your spicy.
Tabasco and a little Worcestershire and pepper. And,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like mine to wake me up.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, do you like it for the liquor or for the Bloody Mary mix?
Well, I don't like Bloody Mary mix.
Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying. You
the like the tomato mix, juice kind of
the
stuff.
The tomato, yeah, okay. The
Clamato actually is what I use.
Oh, Clamato, that's good stuff. I like it better with beer.
Yeah, well,
that wakes you up. Yeah. That
red beer is a good thing too. Down south, red beer is a different thing. But that Dixie Vodka, if you're going to make a Southern tailgate, hum that Dixie Vodka, pretty good. 12 days until. All right, so here's a countdown for you. 12 days until the first games, and I should look those up again. It's a mishmash of smaller games, Mountain West and Mid American and stuff like that. Then 17 days until Georgia State takes on Kennesaw State. That's in 17 days. And I wonder if that's going to become a thing at Georgia State, Kennesaw State.
It should be.
Be interesting if it does.
It should be.
19 days until your damn good dogs are on the field in that opening
Whatever it is
against Austin Peay.
Yeah, whatever that is.
And Georgia Tech also opening because both of those teams had, in theory, Alcorn State and Austin Peay shouldn't be much.
Why is there a booing?
What? Oh, because the Tech fan is booing you.
Put your hat on in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a damn good dog and he's a jacket.
Oh, okay.
He's yelling.
I mean, I know why.
He yells to hell with Georgia like his daddy used to do.
I know why he's booing because he's like most Georgia Tech people. They're so worried about us that's all they focus on. Did you notice that when I didn't say nothing about Georgia Tech, right? We don't worry about them. We don't worry about them little bugs.
Wow. I'm going to let you have that because you got scoreboard right now.
But, of course, you have to play them in Athens where you apparently cannot beat Georgia
Tech. You can't beat them in Athens, huh? I mean, it seems like they always come up here.
Apparently not
in a
war.
They always come get us.
You know, you'll be unbeaten, and here comes – it's like the nightmare scenario for Georgia this year is unbeaten into the Georgia Tech game of panic week.
That's not going to happen. But if that would have happened, do you know that would be just – we wouldn't live it down.
It would be delightful.
Wouldn't live it down.
Yeah, if I'm a Tech fan, I would actually root for Georgia to be unbeaten and number one going into that game.
Wouldn't be able to do anything.
The Jackets held their fan day at Bobby Dodd Stadium on Saturday, and they're getting ready for the season.
How many people they have,
John? They had the Tech people there. Come on now. Now you don't have to go there.
I'm sorry.
Georgia held a scrimmage at Sanford Stadium on Saturday that Kirby Smart, the head coach, said that he was generally very happy with.
I was pleased with the effort and toughness in the scrimmage. We had some physical hits, good striking, good toughness, and I challenged the guys that's what I wanted to see.
Mid-season voice, Kirby, already, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's a little out of the ordinary for Kirby, at least as we have known him so far in year three, that he doesn't usually say things that are positive. He's usually kind of a flat to negative guy. He's not, hey, I was pleased with you. Normally he's kind of, he's kind of like, well, we want to see this and, I was disturbed by this. But, I think he's, look, he's got to have a lot of confidence. There's a ton of talent on this team. Matter of fact, Demetrius Robinson.
Yeah.
Demetrius Robinson was the number one wide receiver in the nation out of the state of Georgia, five-star, and he went to Cal. He went to Cal.
Yeah, because you remember it was a whole big thing because he didn't want to sign during signing day, so he waited later on into the year to sign. And it was a big loss for Georgia because they really wanted this kid. Went out to Cal, and Cal's gorgeous.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah. Strawberry
campus.
Canyon.
It's
yeah.
a great place to go to school. But I guess he was just homesick and, the turnover. Then they got a new coach or something, and he just wanted to come back home.
Yeah, one of the great underachieving programs of all time, Cal, with everything at their disposal up there in Berkeley. But – and they have a lot. They have a beautiful stadium. It's a beautiful setting. They're in the Pac-12.
Yeah, it's gorgeous out there.
Great recruiting grounds, and they just don't do much of anything with it. They put out great pros at times.
Yeah.
I mean, great pros,
yeah.
But just as a team, they're just not all that great. Demetrius Robertson goes out to Cal, spends some time out there, is one of their leading receivers, is everything they ever expected, can flat fly like a sub-4.3. This guy transfers to Georgia. And gets eligible, he's on this team.
Thing. Yeah, and he adds to I'm curious, does that vault him to the number one guy? Because we know what Godwin is, but we know they got Ridley and all these guys. What does he become? Because
I think of all that speed that they've had over the last few years, the Hardemans and the Godwins and the
Ridleys. Nicole's the fastest guy on the team.
Right, and he's that guy and a little bit bigger and maybe, considered by many to be a potential NFL star. He's on this team, the receiving core of this team. Look, offense is not Georgia's problem. They got him. Kirby talked about Robertson, said this.
Well, he's a good wideout. I mean, he was a kid in high school that was a track guy. I mean, I remember he ran a lot of races against Nate McBride and Miko, and that's how I recruited those guys. They were always kind of the same track meets, kind of around the same area, and they were always there. So he's got good speed. He's bright. He's picked the offense up. We just kind of let him go out there and play, and he's naturally picked things up really well. But, I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of competition in that receiver room. So it's not like – I mean, I know y'all got the five-star syndrome. There's a lot of guys out there that weren't five stars that are competing every day. And I'm proud of the way Demetrius has competed. But there's guys out there, Jason Stanley and Tyler Simmons, to me, those two guys they have worked their tail off. They were dominant special teams players last year. This year, so far this fall, they've really been good wideouts and special teams players. So there's going to be good competition in that room.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of competition at wideout. Because everybody talks about how, you lose Chubb, and you lose Sonny Michel, but you have Swift back, you have Herrien, you have Holyfield, now you have Zeus with Zamir White, you have Dalvin Cook's younger brother, James, who I wonder when we'll stop calling him Dalvin's younger brother.
Who is, like, turning heads up
right
there. He is turning heads.
So that's like five running backs deep of guys. Brian Herrien to me is such an interesting guy. Yep. Brian Herrien has been number four, number five in this depth chart, and maybe again, a guy that would start at, I can't tell you how many Division I schools Brian Herrien would start at. Okay.
Well, he's a guy that whenever they put him in, he does well.
Right.
And
in the SEC, he'd start at a number of schools.
He does well. And he's another guy that came in late. But yeah, you look at this offense, and I've always said this, that when's the last time the Georgia's had a legitimate number one receiver? And I think it's been since AJ.
Probably since AJ. I'm not going to.
I mean, Muhammad had some good years, but I'm just talking about dominant player. It's been since AJ Green.
Yes,
and now they got all these guys. And I was looking. I forget recruiting. They got two of the top 10 players, and both are receivers from the state of Georgia playing wide receiver coming next year. And so I mean, and that's what it's all about. It's about adding depth. It's about competition. And what do we know about this day and age? Somebody ain't going to be here. You know that, right?
So you got a Georgia team that's got the number three rated offensive line in the entire nation. You've got these wideouts that could fly with Robertson, five-star guys, Hardman, I mean, Godwin. I mean, this team can go. Ryan Ridley, and of course, we talk about the five running backs. You have Jake Fromm at quarterback with Justin Fields behind it. This offense is going to score a boatload of points. And their defense is going to be fine. They just have to get some seasoning. They've got playmakers. We know about Baker and Rochester and Thompson and Rice and Walker. I mean, there are guys on this defense that can play.
Yeah.
This is a team. Georgia survived. To me, it's all about surviving that getting over that hump, that mental hump. And, of course, I don't think these kids care that much about it. But it is a mental hump for the program in Williams-Brice Stadium week two. If they get over that hump there.
Well, they went up there and won 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only game last year outside the North Carolina game that Chubb looked like Chubb when they went up there and they were just running wild. I mean, I've been up there. I played up there. We were number six in the country. And they just came off a season where they were 0-11 and they got us. And, you know, Quincy's still throwing interceptions. But, yeah, they got us. And it's going to be tricky because, you know, Muschamp, he's going to have them boys ready, man. They're going to be revved up, and they got a good quarterback. They got some playmakers, but we know it's all about Debo.
And we saw how,
once he went down last year.
What it meant to the team.
So.
Yeah, but Georgia's offense is going to be tremendously good. And then the defense will grow. And if the offense could carry them, and again, I want to say, Randy McMichael's a damn good dog. I got no dog in this hunt. I'm not a Georgia Tech or Georgia guy, right? I mean, everybody kind of knows I'm a Nebraska fan. So
And Indiana.
Well, I root for Indiana because of my wife, but I mean, I went to Nebraska. I mean, that's a different. But I look at this and I think Georgia gets by South Carolina. They don't lose a game.
We're not going to lose anyways. I mean, it don't really matter. We're pretty damn good.
No, they really are pretty damn good. I'm not going to argue.
I'm not going to be cocky because, you know, like
everybody keeps talking about whether
we just got here.
Right. Florida. Okay. Because I think Florida's going to be a better team.
Florida's going to be a lot. I think
they can solve all their off field issues down there.
Dan Mullen is a heck of a coach. I think that was a great hire. Should have been the hire before McElwain, in my opinion.
Right.
But we all know what happened down there. I think I just found a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They got playmakers. You know that Florida's going to have receivers. They're going to have corners. They're going to have defense. They got four returning starters, I think, on the O line. So. And they get Scarlett back, the running back.
Yeah, right, Jordan Scarlett back from all of his problems off the field with credit cards and whatnot. You can join the morning show Friday. We're going to be in Douglasville at I-20 and Thornton Road at the racetrack at Douglasville. It'll be Randy Mack and I. We'll be giving out free coffee. Peach Pass tent's going to be there. If you don't have a Peach Pass, feel free to sign up. We've got prizes to give away from Peach Pass and us. Again, Friday, 6 to 10. Thornton Road, I-20 at the racetrack. If you're in that area west of town, we want you to drop by and say hello. When we get back in a moment, Hugh on vacation this week, but that doesn't mean there isn't a Hughes world to talk about. It may be sleeping in Hughes world, but it's still a Hughes world. And our question of the day about steak, we'll update you on our poll next because it's interesting. On Sports Radio 92 on the Game, full coverage of the Falcons and Braves available right now on our tabs at 929thegame.com.
Complete preseason coverage.
This year's different, and this team is different.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL. So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
Hugh is off on vacay this week. Randy Mack, Damn Good Dog, is in on the morning show with John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, so we'll have to do kind of our version of Hugh's World. Hugh is not one inclined to, and love him as we do, to break out the grill and cook a steak. That's just not his thing.
No, that's not him. No, that ain't what he did.
But it is Randy's thing. Now, I sear my steaks on my grill and I put them in the oven, but you know how to cook a steak.
We do it all. This is the thing at our house. Whenever we cook, or if I cook steaks, we do it so many different ways. Like, I'll put it on the grill. Sometimes I'll do it over the open flame. Sometimes I'll let the coals cool off and just let it sit there. Like I was telling Wendy, because she doesn't have a grill, so try to help her out. Best way to do it sometimes in the house, in a big cast iron skillet.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it real hot. You put a little olive oil in there. Put a little seasoning on there. Mm-hmm. And she likes it medium rest. Just drop it in there.
Yep.
Eat it.
Yep.
But AT, you know, AT, you got to... You damn near got to burn your house down to cook a steak with AT. But
you like your steak like
he like his.
Burnt. Are you assassinating me right now?
Because, I mean, when you said, burnt. I said, how you like your steak? You said, well done. You want it cooked.
Right. Well done.
All the time.
Yes.
That's we got to go with medium. I'm a medium guy.
Really? No, I do medium well.
Temperamental sort?
But a lot of people, by the way, a lot of people are saying, because you had to pick, again, with our Twitter poll, Wendy, which is up right now, we can only pick four options, and other people are offering us other ones, which are pretty good, too.
Yes, it's at 929 The Game on our Twitter page, because it's National Filet Mignon Day.
Right.
This conversation just sort of started by talking about just random steaks, but asking the question, what's your favorite cut of steak? Is it the filet mignon, prime rib, ribeye, or sirloin? 42% of people right now say the ribeye is their favorite.
Yes.
32% then say filet mignon. And then 13% are splitting the prime rib and the sirloin
Now. Yeah, like I said, and I put some sirloins on there yesterday because we cooked chicken and steak on there. So I wanted to cook the chicken first and let the coals cool down and just drop the steak on there for a few minutes, flip it, season it, eat it.
Right. And we're getting other things. Andy Perry tweets in, talks about tri-tip, which is a phenomenal
cut. It's a great steak.
Tri-tip is fabulously good. New York Strip, we're hearing, T-bones and hanger steaks, which, by the way, a hanger steak can be really good, too. And especially one of the things I like to do with flat irons, and one of the great things you can do with a flat iron steak is take it and put it in a baggie for 24 hours and put lime juice and some jalapeno and some onion and some garlic and let it marinate in all those flavors for 24 hours.
You marinate your steaks that long?
Yeah, you can. Lime juice, jalapeno, garlic, and onion. And then you get this kind of the Tex-Mex thing going.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm not a big overnight marinator of steaks.
Yeah, it really gets flavored in there.
Yeah, I'm not a big owner of that.
Man, I think that's really good.
Yeah.
I'd do that with a flat iron.
Now, ribs, yeah, because ribs are my specialty, John. That's how I get busy.
What kind of ribs?
On the cow sides.
Randy.
I like beef ribs. What'd you say, A.T.?
We wouldn't know, Randy.
What you mean you wouldn't know? Oh, y'all didn't get the invite.
I like pork ribs. I'll go pork ribs.
It don't matter. I eat any kind of rib. It don't matter. Hold on.
That's the great thing about a tomahawk bone-in ribeye.
This is what I tell people.
It's like a rib, only it's better.
Yeah, see, I hate when people call me out on that. Because this is me and my wife, we have an open door policy.
Okay.
All right. Now, you call me and say, where you at? I'm at the house. I'm coming over. Come on. Now, I mean, that's how we live. That's how our house is. You don't really have to be invited to our house. I tell people that all the time. You don't ever
actually. We just show up?
Yeah, you can show up.
Okay,
just don't park my damn driveway.
Can you park on the street in your area?
Yeah, you can park on the street, but don't park in my driveway.
You make vegetables?
Yeah. Do I make vegetables?
That's what I asked you.
Yeah, we make vegetables, yeah.
Do I make vegetables?
Do I make vegetables? On my grill?
Yeah.
Hell no. Well, no, because I take that back. Because she loves shish kebabs.
Okay.
And so you do the shish kebabs.
Right.
Like, I'll put a tomato or some
green pepper.
Onion,
and
that kind of thing. That's her thing, but. Am I looking
for it? See you later on this evening, then.
Damn. Okay.
So much for that open door policy.
It's open door policy.
That hospitality.
Just like Randy.
You really ain't never got to be invited to Randy's
house. I'm going to bring the baby over there. How about that?
Well, okay, because I like her.
I know you do.
Yeah, I like her. She come over.
He come in here singing that Harvey song.
She come swimming with the kid. But no, but like I said, I don't bake. I don't never put my steaks in the oven. Very rarely. I've maybe done it once or twice.
Well, that's how I went again. That's how I learned to do it when I was a kid because I lived in hotels, and that's how they did
at
it.
The Hilton, right?
At the Hiltons, yeah. Because that's how they did it at the Hilton.
Okay.
That was to ensure in order to ensure that every steak came out the same all the time, they had this chart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you would take the steak and you would put it on for 60 seconds and then flip it 90 degrees over at 60 seconds. And then you put it in a cast iron skillet with butter and you put it in a 450 degree oven. And if they wanted it medium, it was going to be like 4 minutes or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and 6 minutes for medium well and whatever. And then they just, the timer, and they took it out and boom, they were done.
AT,
I don't know that those are the times.
The well done steak guy. Now, if you order a steak and it doesn't come out well done, do you keep sending it back?
Occasionally I will.
Until it's get right to the shades that you like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to send it back 3 times, 4 times, because now you're taking a chance of them really messing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the blood red thing. Some guys like it, but
I got a buddy that he likes it. I mean, if it's not bleeding down his plate, like there's nothing more disgusting to me than you having like potatoes and a steak and their blood in your potatoes.
No.
And look at Wendy's eyes lighting up. You like that?
I mean, that's all the flavor and the juice.
No, that's all the blood.
Yeah.
No.
That's blood.
I mean, medium rare is perfect. I think if you go rare, like I've seen people eat almost cold.
That's what I'm saying.
Too much. But medium rare is the perfect steak.
Yeah, that's our Twitter poll of the day at 929 The Game. And you can weigh in because other people have on their other cuts. Because there's so many great cuts of steak. You know, I mean, even to butt, even to shoulder. I mean, which you could just throw into a Dutch oven and throw it in the oven for 8 hours.
Butter to shoulder, John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you thinking about this morning?
Yeah, no. Meat. Meat. Now you're starting to get me hungry.
Yeah, I'm kind of starving right now, John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that oatmeal's wearing off right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Speaking of you, by the way, 99 The Game and Ackerman are going to hook up one lucky winner with a Philadelphia flyaway with you. Kick off the football season. This is such an incredible thing. It's on our contest page at 929 The Game. You have to go to 929 The Game and enter at our contest page because somebody's going to win a trip for two, all expenses paid to Philadelphia, airfare from Southwest, two-night hotel, and a $1,000 Visa gift card to go to the game for the Falcons and the Eagles. How cool is that?
Hanging out with you in Philly? I like it.
When we get back, it is a Falcons Monday. What Grady Jarrett had to say about his short appearance and what he saw from the sidelines. That's next with John and Randy Mack this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.